Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's news collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Henry Walker, and Ellie MacArthur. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. For the first time since 2009, Kingston has a dedicated queer bar once again. Announced just after the new year, Bottoms Up officially opened its doors on Saturday, January 3rd, taking over the former university tavern space in the basement of the Renaissance. I stopped by the bar this week to speak with owner Paul Fortier about this new endeavor.
What made you go, Kingston needs this and we're going to be the ones to do it?
I mean, Dennis, my partner and I, we've been in Kingston since 1994. We operated the restaurants at Fort Henry, the public house downtown. We've been here at Renaissance for 20 years, including the backyard patio since the pandemic. And this was University Tavern, and we would have dance parties, you know, maybe not every weekend, but at least one dance party a week during the student session. But there's just so much competition for dance parties too, that we found that it was really hard to attract a crowd, even this much further off of the beaten path from the hub. So we said, well, what can we do with this space? And that's going to be unique. That's going to have a niche market and be something that we're good at doing, because we've been hosting Pride events or events for the LGBT community really since the 90s, at a time when other venues wouldn't do it, because you know, it was just too controversial, unfortunately, to even think that it should have been controversial. But there were places that wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole 20 years ago. And we were very happy to accommodate, because, I mean, Dennis and I are both part of the gay community clearly. And we've been around, we've been to gay bars all of our lives, and have been in the food and beverage business for 40 years now. And we said, you know, let's take this space and see. It's been since 2009, since Chez Fufu. I mean, this is well before your time, since Chez Fufu closed. And that was really the last dedicated sort of LGBTQ space that we had in the city. And it was sad to see that close. But, I mean, times change. You know, most clubs and bars, it's, you know, accept anyone, and the gay community is welcome anywhere these days, where they weren't even 25, 30 years ago. But it's still nice to have a space that, you know, is dedicated to your community, where you can really let your hair down and just be yourself. And we're happy to bring one back to Kingston after 20 years almost.
As Forte mentioned, while Kingston has long been home to LGBTQ+ events and inclusive venues, it hasn't had a specifically queer bar since Chez Fufu closed its doors 17 years ago. While rumors of replacements to fill the gap have come and gone over the years, Bottoms Up is the first to make it a reality. Despite only having a few days' notice, the community response was immediate, with around 120 attendees at opening night.
And you got a bit into your opening night there. How was that? And in general, how's the community response been since you opened this past weekend?
You know what? It's been really, really positive. And not just the allies and friends who I've known in the community for many, many years have sent words of, you know, good wishes, hoping that things go well. And it is, you know, it is somewhat controversial. It's a little bit controversial that even in today, in this day, which is unfortunate that needs to be the case. But still, I said to myself, at this point in my life, I'm happy to bring something with this space at Renaissance and here, Bottoms Up, in the lower salon, to bring it to the community and let's enjoy it. And I really I'm encouraged at the response we had just with only a few days of advertising that we were opening. Really no one knew until after New Year's that this was planned. And for on the 3rd of January to have such a strong crowd show up was really, really encouraging.
I was wondering if you could paint a picture of that night a little bit and how it was for you guys.
Well, of course, no one knew what was going to happen. And it wasn't like it was a party by invitation. So we had, you know, a few people would say they're going to come by, but you never know. There was, you know, nothing firm. But right from 7 o'clock, people were coming through the door. And by 8:30, it was a great crowd. And by 10 o'clock, the place was full and people were wanting to dance. And we got the dancing started at about 10:30, 10:45. So it was, I was surprised, to be honest. I didn't know what to expect. And the staff as well didn't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. And they were very pleased at the response.
Looking ahead, Fortier says he's optimistic that the momentum will continue, especially with students returning to Kingston after the holiday break and discovering the space for the first time.
Of course, we opened at a time when the students weren't here. You know, there were very few students in the city last weekend. But this weekend, you know, people are coming back. And the next couple of weekends, people are coming back and looking for different experiences, I think, too. And I've already had lots of communications with some young people from the university, from the colleges who are, you know, excited about coming and seeing what the space is all about.
The city of Kingston has officially received an entry-level bird-friendly city certification from Nature Canada. To obtain a bird-friendly city status, a municipality must earn points across three categories: threat reduction, habitat protection, restoration and climate resilience, and community reach and education. Certification is awarded on one of three levels: entry, intermediate, or high. The city established a bird team about a year ago to work towards making Kingston more bird safe. Notably, the city held a public poll to name an official bird this past fall, a lively race which ended in a tie between the cardinal and the crow. According to the city, Kingston's application received strong marks, bordering on the intermediate level. Karen Santucci, Director of Public Works and Solid Waste with the city, sat down with CFRC to share more about the city's bird-friendly status. I was wondering if you could just tell us a bit about the city's bird team and the work that's gone into this to get us here.
Yeah, so the city started working on their bird-friendly certification about a year ago. We have a bird-friendly team, which is we've got some very active people on the team. The team consists of some community groups like Little Forests, Master Gardeners, Kingston Field Naturalists, Sustainable Kingston. It includes people from Queens and St. Lawrence. It includes some representation from some different Indigenous groups. So it's a very active team. And we worked together to pull together an application. And the application really looked at a number of different things. It looked at threat reduction. It looked at how to conserve and restore and create bird habitats. And it looked at how do we engage the public. So the city worked on that, but the team also worked together. So the team came together. They did three World Migratory Bird Days this year. One of the groups had got a grant to run one of those Migratory World Bird Days where they did a hedge seminar. So they taught people how to plant hedges, which were great for birds populations as well. So lots of stuff has gone into it. Our application went in. We were certified at the entry level, but we were like 1 point short of intermediate level. So our bird team is working really hard right now to make sure we can gain that point and move us up to an intermediate level for next year.
Awesome. And you just mentioned there, bird team has no plans of stopping. I was wondering if you could tell us a bit about what's in the works and maybe what we're going to see in 2026.
Yeah, so 2026, we actually have a meeting coming up in February to talk about what our goals are going to be for next year. I think what you will probably see is some stuff on light pollution that we'll be working on, some stuff on bird window collisions that we'll be working on, and possibly some stuff in roaming cats. There's a lot that's also happening with the city. So right now the city is working on their official plan. We're working on our natural heritage study. We're working on our forestry management strategy. Out of that will also come our tree bylaw. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that's happening at the city that will go into that conserve, restore, create bird habitat sections of the report. And hopefully we'll see some changes in that in the next year as well.
Awesome. And what can residents do to contribute and keep up with all these developments?
We have a new bird-friendly page on the city's website, which talks about all these different areas and gives residents some ideas of things that they could do to help support birds as well. So we encourage people to take a look at that. Other things they can do is just, you know, making sure they're creating habitat for trees, not letting cats roam. If they're leaving out food, understanding where that best is to go and what quality of food people should be putting out. Lots of things they can do, lots of ideas on our website. Lots of work also with Little Forests, Master Gardeners, Kingston Field Naturalists. They're always working on things to do with birds, plants. So anyone who's looking to be involved, that's an excellent avenue as well to join in with the community and work on some of these activities with us.
Once again, that was Karen Santucci, Director of Public Works and Solid Waste with the City of Kingston. As Santucci said, the city and their bird team look forward to setting new goals and advancing Kingston's status as a bird-friendly city next year. Learn more about the city's bird-friendly city activities and how to make your home a bird-friendly space at cityofkingston.ca/bird-friendly. For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, this has been Christina Laurie.
Hello, this is Henry with CFRC's Queen's Campus Beat, welcoming you back to another semester and bringing you your Queen's Campus news. As the winter term gets underway, Queen's University is returning to full campus operations following the winter break. Many academic buildings, student services, and administrative offices that were closed or operating on reduced schedules over the holidays have now reopened. Libraries across campus are resuming regular schedules, with extended study hours returning as students prepare for the semester ahead. Dining services in residence and across campus are also expanding their hours this week, though some locations may still be operating on modified schedules. For the most accurate and up-to-date information, check official university and service websites and social media channels. Campus life at Queen's is already picking up new energy this winter term, with a range of events and activities for students to get involved in. The International Center is hosting Winter Arrival Welcome Week from January 5th to 9th, offering campus tours, information sessions, and social activities, especially for incoming and returning international students. Looking ahead later in January, TEDx Queen's U is scheduled for January 24th, bringing together local speakers and ideas worth spreading in a TED-Ed-style conference right here in Kingston. Also on the calendar is the Queen's Robotics Cup on January 24th at Grant Hall. For students interested in attending artistic and cultural events here at Queen's, the Queen's Musical Theater Company is set to begin its run of the musical Into the Woods, with shows running from the 10th to 25th. Tickets for this production are available through QMT's Instagram. And for students interested in sports and recreation, registration is now open for winter intramurals starting the week of January 11th. The offering leagues from basketball to badminton and more. Later on in the month, Queen students will be voting in the AMS-SGPS winter referendum on January 29th and 30th, with ballots open online for both undergrad and graduate members. One of the questions on the AMS ballot asks whether Queen's should adopt ethical and sustainable investment standards and divest from sectors or institutions tied to environmental or social harms. Mark your calendars and make sure you're ready to vote when the polls open later this month. As a reminder and a final note, students should keep an eye on important academic deadlines coming up in the next few weeks, including course add and drop dates and upcoming midterms. I'm Henry Walker, and this has been Queen's Campus Beat, your Queen's Campus News, here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
This is the Environment Canada Weather Report for the Kingston region. We begin with Monday, January 5th. Looks like it's going to be a cold and snowy day in the city of Kingston. Daytime high of minus 8, feeling closer to minus 14, and 3 to 6 centimeters of snow in the forecast all throughout the day. Tuesday, January 6th, warms up quite a bit. Daytime high of minus 3, feeling closer to minus 7, and maybe some trace amounts of snowfall left over from Monday, but not much accumulation at all. Wednesday, January 7th, we actually make it up to the 0-degree marks of just above freezing here in the city of Kingston, overnight low of minus 2. Thursday, January 8th, daytime high of 3 degrees, actually feeling a touch warmer at 4, Cloudy conditions, but no snow, rain, or sleet in the forecast. Dry day here in the city of Kingston. Friday, January 9th, daytime high of 4 degrees, feeling closer to zero, so just hovering around freezing, with some periods of rain in the morning, otherwise it'll be gray and cloudy. Saturday, January 10th, daytime high of 4 degrees, feeling closer to zero, so very little temperature movement from Friday into Saturday. 55% chance of rain in the afternoon, otherwise cloudy. Sunday, January 11th, daytime high of 2 degrees, but it's actually going to feel closer to minus 6, possibility of a little bit of snow in the afternoon. And then Monday, January 12th, daytime high of minus 1, but feeling closer to minus 10, quite chilly here in the city of Kingston. This is a truncated City of Kingston traffic report for the week. Nothing much to report, but I do want to remind any potential motorists that the City of Kingston's winter parking restrictions are in effect. So as of January 1st, there is no overnight parking allowed anywhere in the City of Kingston. That will also remain in place throughout the month of February. In March, the parking restrictions are limited to nights when snowfall or ice accumulation is expected. So basically, come March, if there is a winter weather warning in effect, you will not be able to park on the street. January and February, you will not be able to park on the street, period. So bear that in mind if you're visiting loved ones, friends, or students here in the City of Kingston.
Thank you, Jesse. This is Christina Laurie coming back in with your CFRC events and concerts calendars for the upcoming week. Starting tonight, Monday, January 5th, once the show wraps up, you can head straight to Time Out Bar for karaoke starting at 6 p.m. A bit later in the evening, you can put your thinking cap on with multiple trivia options around town. One Eye Jack's at 7 p.m., The Brass Pub at 7:45 p.m., and Something in the Water Brewing at 8 p.m. On Tuesday, January 6th, the Kingston Public Market takes over Springer Market Square from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m., featuring your favorite local vendors. In the afternoon, head to Trellis HIV and Community Care for Indigenous Drumming from 1 to 3 p.m. This is a bi-weekly event. In the evening, try your luck at Euchre at Deft Brewing at 7 p.m. or test your trivia skills at Jack's Tuesday Night Trivia, also at 7 p.m. Wednesday, January 7th, you've got trivia at Wild Wings at 7:30 p.m., plus multiple karaoke options. Jersey Sports Bar at 7 p.m., Time Out Bar at 8 p.m., and The Mansion at 9 p.m. The Grad Club will also be hosting an open stage drag show at 8 p.m. On Thursday, January 8th, another Kingston Public Market Day running from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. in Springer Market Square. After dark, there's drag bingo at Daft Brewing starting at 7 p.m. And no shortage of trivia with Riverhead at 7 p.m., The Grad Club at 8 p.m., Something in the Water at 8 p.m., and Queen's Pub at 9 p.m. If singing is more your thing, karaoke kicks off at Tiernanog at 9 p.m. To finish off the week on Friday, January 9th, there's trivia at Wild Wings Kingston at 7 p.m. Limestone City Burlesque and Harlequin Crow present Queeriversary 2 Louder and Prouder at the Broom Factory at 8 p.m. Later on, saddle up for country karaoke at The Buckle at 9 p.m. or keep things classic with karaoke at Daft Brewing, also at 9 p.m. Saturday, January 10th, another opportunity to shop local at the Kingston Public Market, open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Springer Market Square. On Sunday, January 11th, the Memorial Center Farmers Market runs from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., a great stop for fresh food and local goods. In the evening, there's trivia at The Merchant at 8 p.m., followed by late-night karaoke at The Toucan at 10:30 p.m. And that wraps up your upcoming events. Now let's dive into a few concerts to put on your calendar this week. Starting with tonight, kicking things off, the Mourning Doves take the stage at Musiki at 8 p.m. Tomorrow on Tuesday, January 6th, just a quick note that Tom's Tuesday Afternoon Happy Hour Jam at the RCHA is on hiatus while the RCHA undergoes renovations. Still, you can head to Musiki at 7 p.m. for their weekly open mic, welcoming musicians of all styles and experience levels. On Wednesday, January 7th, plenty of chances to catch emerging talent and local favorites. DJ Great White spins an afternoon set at Hotel Wolf Island starting at 4 p.m. Later on, there's open mic at the Cove Inn at 5, followed by another open mic at the Hotel Wolf Island at 7:30 p.m. On Thursday, January 8th, Sean Pynchon and Scott Fitzpatrick perform at the Cove Inn at 6 p.m., followed by Ted LaLonde at Time Out at 7.
For a larger concert experience, the Simon & Garfunkel tribute concert hits the stage at the Kingston Grand Theatre at 7:30 p.m. Friday, January 9th is stacked with live music across the region. It starts early with the Amanda Keeley Trio at the Coven and Christopher Jackson at the Toucan, both at 5 p.m. At 6 p.m., catch Paul Wood and Laura Richards at Time Out Bar. Over in Gananoque, the Peter Kopp Project with Scott Dwyer and Jay Gooden plays Stonewater Pub at 7. The night keeps rolling with Lowery at K&R Sports Bar at 8 p.m. and a late show from Tone Cats at The Merchant at 10:30 p.m. On Saturday, January 10th, another big one. The afternoon starts with Matt Dixon at the Coven at 5 p.m. In the evening, you could catch Tom Savage and Friends at the Royal Canadian Legion 560 and Jeff Callery at the Embassy, both at 7 p.m. Rock fans can head to the Kingston Grand Theatre for Road Apples, the Tragically Hip tribute, also at 7:30 p.m. Later on, Chris Bonham Carter closes out the night at the Merchant at 10:30 p.m. Sunday, January 11th offers music throughout the day, starting with the Youth Open Mic at the Broom Factory at 1 p.m., alongside Chicken Pickin' at the Coven, also at 1 p.m. Classical fans can catch the Kingston Symphony Orchestra at the Isabel at 2:30 p.m. Later on, enjoy Lady and the Tramps at Time Out Bar at 3, Eric and Megan at the Coven at 5, and Open Mic with Steve G at Time Out at 7. Once again, those are just a few concerts coming up around town this week. For CFRC's full events and concerts calendars, head to CFRC.ca. Have an event or concert you'd like added to our online and on-air calendar? Head to CFRC.ca or check out the link tree in our bio on Instagram at CFRC Music. Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.